faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving, and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
The Leadership File on Premier.
Welcome to the show which helps you lead where God has placed you. I'm Andy Peck. This week I'm joined by Matt Skirton, the National Director of Operation Mobilisation, also known as OM. Matt, with his wife Helen, served for 20 years, pioneering OM's work in Moldova in Eastern Europe, before becoming National Director in 2015. He tells his story of becoming a missionary in his book, Missionary Me. So Matt, welcome to the Leadership Fall.
Hi Andy, it's great to be able to join you.
So as I mentioned, you wrote about your journey to serving as a missionary in your book. And I don't know if I pronounced it correctly. Missionary Me is kind of how I said it. can you give a potted version of your journey to begin with?
Yeah, no, you said it correctly because it's a question.
You know,
I grew up asking, could I possibly be a missionary? Does God call ordinary people to serve him on the mission field? And I didn't think so until he called me. And I live with that surprise that God can use an ordinary person. So, you know, I grew up in a Christian home on the south coast of England. And I would probably say that the faith that I had was my parents' faith. I went along to church because that's what our family did. And it wasn't until I went off to university in London. I met a girl, was very attracted to this girl. And the problem was she was talking about being a missionary when she graduated and serving the Lord and all this sort of stuff. And for me, that was so foreign. That wasn't the plan that I had for my life. But the problem was I was really attracted to her. And so I made a bit of a mistake, which was to sign up for a short-term mission trip because I thought this would impress her. Yeah. And she'd want to be my girlfriend.
Right. So
it was the early 90s. I joined a mission agency I'd never heard of called OM, Operation Mobilization, signed up for 2 weeks to go on a short-term mission trip. And my life has not been the same since.
Wow. So where did you go?
Well, I went to Estonia. I thought it sounded pretty impressive, sounded a bit like Narnia, and I thought I'll go somewhere I've never been before. And, of course, the Soviet Union had fairly recently broken apart, and all these new republics were appearing on the map. So I went there, and, you know, I went with a desire to serve the Lord, whatever that meant. But I met people who hadn't ever heard of Jesus, hadn't heard the good news of the gospel, and realized that people needed to hear about the Lord, and realized and learned that God could use ordinary people to bring that good news.
Well, so obviously the Lord uses all sorts of motives, so it's wonderful to hear your honesty about it. Yeah. But obviously there would have come a point where you sensed, hang on, you know, this is not just about the girl, which of course is your wife Helen, but actually there's something warming in my heart about what I'm doing.
Well, absolutely, and you know, it was a period of time over a period of months as I was growing in my relationship with the Lord, understanding what it really means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and came to a point where, okay, I want to commit myself to follow Jesus, but also what am I going to do with my life? And going on that mission trip, meeting people who hadn't heard of the Lord and being confronted with that question, well, if it is true, if Jesus is the only way and people haven't heard, what hope is there apart from Jesus? And so then just over a period of time and, you know, I went the following summer on another short-term trip and then graduated from college. And it was at that point that I realized this is what I want to do with my life. I don't just want to live a regular life. I want to live my life to make a difference, to seek to bring the good news to people.
Are you aware that Helen was praying that this would happen at this point, or was she actually trying to...
Yeah, it was all very complex and confusing at the time, but we look back and of course laugh and realise that the Lord used her and her maturity in the Christian faith to challenge me in my faith as well.
Right. So at some point you signed up with OM itself in order to go somewhere?
Yes. So, you know, I having done these short-term trips, I was 1 year ahead of Helen, so I joined the team in Austria. And from Austria, they were ministering into Eastern Europe. And I was given the responsibility as a very young man, 21 years old, out of college, to distribute Christian literature in Romania.
Oh, well.
So I was traveling around, meeting book distributors, translators, typesetters, and driving vans of Bibles and literature into Romania. And it was at that time, in the very early years, in 93, 94, that I first heard of the country of Moldova, heard that OM didn't have any ministry there, and just started to get a sense, maybe God's calling me and, you know, my wife, we were to be married within a year or so, to go and serve there and pioneer OM's work. And that's what happened. And we got married. We went there in 95. And we thought we'd be there for a couple of years. And 20 years later, we'd seen God do quite extraordinary things in our lives, but also through OM's ministry there.
Right, right. So the kind of motivation for becoming a leader essentially was the evangelism, with the sharing of the faith, and that necessitated therefore doing some leadership, because in order to facilitate what you wanted to do.
Well that's right. I mean, we went there and we weren't thinking, oh, we're going to start to lead a large ministry. We went there with a sense that God was calling us to preach the gospel, to partner with local churches, and we were involved in church planting ministries early on in rural communities. But it was just me and Helen. But the problem was, it was a blessing. As people started to join the team, the more we communicated about what the Lord was doing through us, more people joined us. As the team grew, well, I had to start to learn to be a leader. And it wasn't just about me and Helen, but and the church we were planting, but groups of young people and not so young who were joining us, signing up to be a part of OM in Moldova. And so over the years, as the ministry grew, so my leadership responsibilities grew.
Right. And were the things that helped you, were the people that helped you at that point to learn from, or did you kind of just pick it up and base things on your own personality and instinct?
Well, I think I'd have to say, certainly within OM, there's a great structure of, you know, mature, experienced missionaries who mentor and coach young leaders, and that's something that I hugely benefited from, the mentoring relationships that I had with older, more experienced Christian leaders. So I think of three or four who would come in regularly into Moldova, visit me and Helen, and just be available to listen, to advise. I was challenged early on what it means to be mentored, because, you know, naturally sometimes we can feel we know it all, and these people would be coming in and challenging me and my methods and my way of leading and what I thought was right. And I was always tempted to say, but you don't understand, you're not living here. But I had to humble myself. There had to be that vulnerability to listen and to take advice. And that's something that I've constantly been challenged with in my leadership role, whatever that leadership role has been, surrounding myself not just with people who will agree with me and say nice things to me and tell me I'm doing a good job, but actually and it's not a lesson I've learned completely, but I continually challenge to humble myself, really, I suppose, to be vulnerable, to listen, and to accept the advice of people who have different perspectives and I think probably know better than me.
Right, right. So you spent 20 years in Moldova. Were you doing the same kind of things, or did things develop differently?
Well, I mean, the work developed really incredibly. We saw, as we were involved at the beginning in that first those first couple of years in direct church planting ministry, and it was under the authority of local church leaders and the evangelical unions at the time. But as we saw people join us, within a couple of years, we were faced with the challenge, well, what is God actually calling us to do? You know, a large part of us wanted to stay hands-on involved in the community where we were, a little town of Nisperen, and we were planting churches in the villages around as well. And yet we sensed that God was calling us to take a step back and begin a more national ministry. And we realized that we could perhaps be more effective rather than just us being involved hands-on in ministry, but helping disciple and encourage others. And so we moved to the capital city after a few years, and we began a national missions training program for young people. And I look back now and see really one of the successes of OM's ministry in Moldova was establishing that ministry. We've now had about 600 young people, Moldovan young people, go through this three-month training program called Challenge into Missions. And those young people, the majority will have graduated, gone back to serve in their churches and local communities, but also many started to join the OM team and would serve with us in Moldova, help reaching out into a number of different communities. And, you know, the work grew to now there's a couple of hundred churches who are serving and in partnership with OM on a regular basis. We're helping them reach into their communities. We saw relief and development ministries springing up. We business projects where we've had more than 1,000 Moldovans be trained in starting a business, and 700 families have been helped with loans in starting businesses. So the work just exploded really over the years. And by the time we left, you know, 20 years later, there were more than 100 people working full-time in the team, which is OM Moldova.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like a fantastic, fantastic legacy. Matt, we're going to go to a break now. You're listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I'm joined this week by Matt Skirton. Matt is the National Director of Operation Mobilisation, also known as OM. We'll be back just after this. Welcome back to the Leadership File. I'm joined this week by Matt Skirton, the National Director of OM, Operation Mobilisation. He's been National Director since 2015. We were talking before the break of his time with his wife Helen in Moldova for some 20 years, and how the movement and the gospel was expanding, and various activities flowed out of that, and particularly business development and training of leaders, etc. So looking back, Matt, I mean, that 20 years, what did you learn about leadership? You mentioned already the value of mentors. Any other things that you picked up?
Well, I mean, there's obviously a huge amount. What a steep learning curve it was for me. I think one of the things I can remember early on as a couple of the fellows would come in and be advising and mentoring me as a leader. And I remember sharing my real frustration. You know, I'd look at other ministry fields, OM teams around the world, and they seem to be full of great, competent, experienced, mature leaders. And here I was with a group of young people joining me and Helen, who were making it up as we went along. And I remember being frustrated, saying, why don't we have more mature people joining us and helping in leadership positions? And it was almost a real revelation for me when I kind of realized, well, maybe we are called to help develop leaders. Maybe we're called to invest in people. Maybe God's not going to just send us the finished article, but we actually have a responsibility of developing and raising up leaders around us. And that's something that early on in our time in Moldova, we started to see. So we started to see all these young people who were coming into our training programs. These were the leaders who could take on from us, who could help develop the ministry. So I think a big thing that I learned was the calling that we had, and indeed still have, developing people around us. It's not just about us doing the work, but truly encouraging others to take responsibilities and even take the work on beyond where we could. Yeah. And I know that sounds, well, it sounds so super spiritual, it sounds so perfect, but that is what I've, probably the main thing that I learned in those early years in Moldova, the importance of investing in other people, taking risks, trusting others to step up. And the vast majority of the time we saw as we encouraged others to take leadership responsibilities, we saw that they didn't disappoint, and in fact they did far better than we were doing. You know, and it's that idea that there's no glass ceiling, we can only be developed up to a certain level, but then Matthew or others are, you know, have those senior positions. It's a case of encouraging others to be developed, and just helping people to realize that they can do extraordinary things if they're entrusted with leadership responsibility.
Yeah, I've spoken with folk who've worked with former Soviet Union folk in countries, and with all due respect to them, they've not had a heritage of taking initiative and leadership. Did you find that in Moldova?
Yeah, I think one of the things we were struck with and we grew up with, perhaps one of the advantages we had is because we weren't experienced leaders when we went to Moldova. We were growing up in Moldova, you know, half our adult lives, all our adult lives were spent there growing up in Moldova. So I guess as I look back, I see, you know, the Soviet, the former Soviet mentality of a more authoritarian, I dare even say dictatorial leadership, mix that with the orthodox background of a country like Moldova, you know, Romania, Ukraine would be similar. And you've got a certain expectation of leadership where the leader is the boss and is going to dictate what needs to happen. And I guess we quite naively went in, and this team was forming around us, and it was very natural for us to, you know, roll our sleeves up and help with the washing up after a team meal. It was very natural for us to help build walls and dig ditches and do all sorts of things that we did. And I'd often have Moldovan friends say on the team with us, say, you know, that's different. The leader, the head senior pastor, the bishop, whatever, isn't supposed to be doing this.
Right.
And it wasn't, it was just something naturally we were doing. But I'd like to think that's part of our DNA. It's part of the DNA of OM, serving in leadership.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's something that's spoken and has made quite an impact in the OM ministry there in Moldova.
Yeah, great. I mean, you face a different kind of leadership challenge now. Since 2015, you've been National Director of Operation Mobilisation in the UK. So how have the last 3 years been?
Yeah, it's close to 3 years. Time's flying. It's two and a bit years that I've been in this role as the UK Director. And of course, it has been a steep learning curve, you know, coming out of the ministry there in Moldova. And you know, we did things in a certain way. We registered legal organizations, but there was a lot of gray areas in Moldova and in a developing country like that. And coming back to the UK, working and serving as the director of a charitable organization, you know, I'm confronted with the realities of charitable law and employment law, risk assessment, safeguarding and gift aid, HMRC, all of these things, which we hadn't been confronted with to a large degree in Moldova. So I've had to learn a great deal. But in the midst of that, you know, ensuring that we've got really competent, capable people working with us who take care of those things, who are the experts in those areas. And I guess my role now as the UK director is ensuring that we are fully compliant as a legal charitable organization, but not allowing ourselves to be bogged down just with those issues, to keep the bigger picture, the vision that we believe the Lord has given us as OM in the UK and serving the global movement OM, you know, which is to see vibrant communities of Jesus followers amongst the least reached. That's our passion. That's why we get up in the morning. And we have to work in certain ways in the UK, and I'm learning so much the ways that we need to work. But we also need to keep our eyes on the bigger picture of what we believe God's called us to do. Another thing that I've seen coming from Moldova, growing up, if you like, in Eastern Europe, where we value and appreciate spontaneity and flexibility, and I've come into the UK, and I see that Brits really like their processes and procedures.
Yes,
and I'm having to learn to work within the British way of thinking and doing things. Mm. But at the same time, I think we can nudge and push a little bit of the. We can learn so much from the Eastern European spontaneity, a can-do attitude.
Indeed.
And I think sometimes in the UK there's a little bit of we can't do that. It's too complex. I think we need to push the boundaries a little bit and encourage people to dream. What can we accomplish by God's grace?
Fabulous, Matt. Well, we're coming to an end, sadly, of time. But I do like to ask guests if there have been books that have helped you along the way.
Yeah, now I knew this question was coming, and I was thinking, you know, there's one book that always comes to my mind. If I'm honest, I'm not the most prolific reader, and
okay,
it's a real area of weakness. But there's one book, and it's Roy Hessian's Calvary Road.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's a book that I think was written in the 50s.
Yeah, it goes back a bit. I know that.
It does, and I often will turn back to this book. You know, the first chapter speaks about brokenness, humility, and leadership, and I rarely get past the first chapter because I get stuck. And you know, the challenge for us as leaders to ensure that we are, you know, we're caring for the people, valuing the people. We want to get the job done, but we're valuing people, but also that. The spirit, the heart that we have as we are serving. So I would hugely recommend, if people haven't read this classic old book, The Calvary Road by Ron Hessian. And for me, it speaks about, you know, when you get that email, someone's a little bit critical, or they're angry, or it's what's my response to that. You know, my natural heart response is so often to fire off a quick email and to prove that I was right. And yet the book, as of course scriptures, challenges us to have the same attitude as Jesus and to take the very nature of a servant and not to send that first email and not to try and defend myself. But to seek to serve in that way and lead in that way. So a hugely challenging book, and I often refer back to it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Matt. And of course, your own book is Missionary, Me? So how do people get a copy of that?
Well, it is available as an ebook on the Kindle store, the Amazon store. But if anyone wants a copy, they can write to us at om.org, the UK office here, and we're very happily send a copy out. So it's my story of being surprised that God can use and does call ordinary people to fulfill his purposes.
Fantastic. Well, as I say, time's sadly gone, but it's been terrific to chat with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy. It's been a privilege to join you.
So you've been listening to Leadership File with me, Andy Peck. I was joined this week by Matt Skirton. Skirton is Skirton, and his book is Missionary, Me? So do get a copy of that, and indeed... you might want to track down that Ron Hessian book, Calvary Road, as well. Also go to the archive versions of Leadership File via either the online version at premier.org.uk or indeed by going to iTunes. You can also get copies of my latest book, The Leadership Road Less Travelled, by going to Premier's store, and it'll be there for you. That includes... insights from guests over the course of some 12 years of the Leadership File. So I obviously would recommend that book too. So I look forward to your company again next Sunday at 3:30. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to the Leadership File on Premier. And Andy Peck serves as a tutor at CWR, a Christian charity whose courses and publications aim to apply God's word to everyday life. Contact him via email apeck@cwr.org.uk.